Welcome back to the Mummy Dearest podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s, and today. Before we get started, would you like to double your Mummy Dearest content? Sign up for our Patreon, where you can pay as little as $5 a month for up to 4 episodes. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Mellon and Sloan Steele.
Hi, everybody.
I said the U word, so we had to restart.
Yeah, well, if we restarted every time Zach said or I said okay then, we wouldn't have a show.
You do also go,
It's a click noise as well, so it's doubly annoying. Anyway, you guys, if you all had a podcast and you had to talk for an hour straight, guess what? Y'all be saying and okay then and doing click noises as well. It's really hard, okay? We edit out as much as we can.
It's really crazy. And apparently it's like a thing because I saw a meme about it. Like apparently it's like everybody's doing it, so.
Everybody's doing it.
Okay. If you listen to a podcast and you're like, well, this podcast never says I'm just letting you know it's edited out. They say it every one word.
Yeah. We should do just an supercut.
Okay. Well, today we are unwrapping the child
family rom-com
feel good film of the year, The Mist.
What year was this from?
I'm glad you asked. It was released November 21st, 2007.
Oh, okay. I think that's a really strong release date, Zach, because that's a Thanksgiving family movie.
I love November. I love going to the movies like in November, like between obviously like from Halloween until like late fall is a really good time to go to the movies.
I'm straight up September to end of December. EOD. Yeah. I'm straight up that whole time period.
That's Oscar season.
Give me a movie and I'll see it.
They give us movies between September and December. They're giving us movies.
Movies have really been like coming out. They've been movieing lately. Like movies have been movieing. And I'm really happy we did The Mist because I think this is a great example of how to make a movie that I want to watch.
First of all, I watched this on, if you pay for Stars, it's free.
Love it.
I just did the thing where I don't know why I have Stars.
Were you watching Outlander?
Oh no, it's because that new show that's coming out next month is on it and I thought it was already out, so I paid for it.
What show?
Mary and George.
Well, I'm definitely gonna have to get Stars as well.
That's what I mean. I thought it was, or people are talking about it, so I was like, oh, I'm missing it. So I subscribed to it and then it was like releasing next month and I was like, motherfuck.
Maybe we'll be famous enough to get screeners one day soon.
That'd be really, really nice. So
that's all we want.
All I want is like little DVD. Oh, no, they're not DVDs anymore. They're just like website links.
They're like link codes.
Oh, my God. Can I stream them on my TV? Because like, I'm not like Sloan. I can't just watch it on my phone while I'm making a ham sandwich.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. When we get the screener, then we can reevaluate.
The budget was $18 million.
Really? I feel like that's little. How'd it do?
And the worldwide gross was $57.4 million. So it did fine.
I feel like that's really unfair, to be honest with you.
Well, seeing as how Dune and Oppenheimer made Dune hasn't made $1 billion yet, but it's already making more money than Oppenheimer did, which people are like weirded out about, but I'm like, Oppenheimer is the most boring film.
I will never, ever watch that again. I'm glad I saw it, and I'm really happy I saw it in theaters, and same. I'm glad that I had that experience, but I will never put that movie on again.
I might watch it again if I'm like sick for days and days and like need a 3.5-hour movie just to kind of like rest.
Just hallucinate through.
Just to like make me go into a restful state, which a movie about the atomic bomb that murdered millions of people like would do that.
No, that's literally why I like The Mist. Like this is a movie I put on and just like nap to constantly.
I don't blame you. I think I've seen this movie once on television.
Wow.
And So a lot of this was like a surprise for me. I didn't remember much of it. The director is Frank Darabont. He directed The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption and a lot of The Walking Dead episodes.
He does like every Stephen King movie.
Oh, a lot of The Walking Dead actors were in this movie.
I only watched like one episode of The Walking Dead, unfortunately.
I was a big Walking Dead fan and for like four seasons, and then I just let it go, and now they're on their 15th season or something. So
I know I've probably told you this before, but if you guys are new to the show, Norman Reedus bought one of my Everybody Hates a Racist t-shirts, and he was the nicest person I've ever talked to, and I have his home address. He just moved, but because I saw on like Architectural Digest his house was for sale, but I had his address. I could have just like gone and given him a kiss. He was so nice. He's really cute.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Are you joking?
Norman Reedus?
You don't think he's hot?
Not even a little.
Have you seen his son with Helena Christensen?
No.
Oh, baby. Baby, if you think like Damien Hurley is like sexy gay face, like young boy, wait till
I don't,
you see.
I think Damien Hurley is the devil incarnate. I don't think that he's attractive at all.
Okay, well, I need you to get your eyes on Mingus.
A Frasier offspring now? Now we're talking.
It's kind of like this is
Holden. What's his name? Holden?
Oh yeah, Holden. Holden and Norman Reedus's kid Mingus are giving the same energy. And his name's Mingus.
Mingus.
Okay.
That's like really, that's like
really
if
mean.
Sloan didn't marry like a finance bro, she would have married like someone who would name their kid Mingus.
I like, here's the thing. In my heart, do I want to marry like some like artist or like DP, like person in film? Yeah. And have like a really like cool life. Yes.
Like bungalow life.
But I need money, baby. I need cold hard cash. So I have to.
You think Norman Reedus doesn't have money?
No, I know he does, but I'm not pulling Norman Reedus. I'm pulling like a low level, like
I see
like,
what you're saying.
Grip, like on a film set. Like I'm not pulling the leading man. I'm pulling
who's
way
spending
down.
Like his last like paycheck money on like a new Harley seat.
No, correct. Like I'm not even a Harley, just a seat. Anyway.
The composer is Mark Isham, and he composed The Net, Nell,
Whoa,
Fly Away Home,
Oh,
October Sky,
Oh,
Save the Last Dance,
Wow,
Life is a House, and like a million other movies. We need to do Life is a House.
I would love to get my eyes on that.
Kevin Klein, Hayden Christensen.
You know I'm like number one Kevin Klein stan.
You love him. Thomas Jane was. Okay, are you guys ready?
I'm really scared.
Thomas Jane was 38.
Okay, that's you in one day.
That's, yeah.
You could be the leader of, like, a revolution.
I don't know, like, if it's my brain. I don't know if it's Hollywood. I don't know if it's people who have a bad skincare routine. I don't know what it is, but, like, that is not me.
I don't think you look like that. I was watching something.
It's just like.
What was I? I was watching something with Paul the other day, and it was a movie that we were doing, and the leading man was the same age as Paul. And Paul was like, I don't look that old, do I? I'm like, no, you. I think it was Josh Lucas in Poseidon. And I was like, no.
But like, do we?
I really don't think we do, Zach. Like, I don't think you look 38. But I don't know. I would say you look like 33. Is that okay?
I'm okay with, like, listen, it's not like I don't care, but it's just like to see. Okay, here's the other thing. Like, Zac Efron is like 38.
And he looks
like you're not putting him like as a leading man in like a horror action film.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess Thomas Jane does look older.
It's
he just
like
has
strange.
One of those faces.
They wouldn't cast a 38-year-old, I don't think, today in like
you would
a movie
have to
like
be
that.
Like 44 in this.
You truly would have to be at least 42 to be a leading man in a movie like it really would be Jake Gyllenhaal or Bradley Cooper
to give leading man like leading man in a crisis.
Right.
Okay. What can you
What's going on with what's going on with what's his name? Ken. Barbie Ken. Why can't I think of his name?
Ryan Gosling.
What's going on with Ryan Gosling's cheeks?
They put way too much filler in them, is what's happening with them.
That's really embarrassing for him.
It's really shameful. I don't know if he was trying to like be meta and be filled with plastic as like a thing, but that was not the look. He is in this new movie where he looks very funny and fake. So maybe it was like for that role, and that's all I can say and hope. But like that, man, if you're listening, like you don't need to get cheek filler, please. That never looks good. Have you ever seen someone just cheek filler?
Someone just texted me happy birthday and it's not my birthday.
Are you like going to say thank you or are you going to correct them?
I don't know what to do.
Okay. Was it your mom? Is it your dad? Anyway,
I wouldn't be surprised. Like my sister's birthday is today and my birthday is tomorrow. So like I don't blame them for getting it.
Wait,
confused.
What?
You didn't know that? I've never said this on
this
podcast.
No, you've never said that before. What?
We're a year and 364 days apart.
That's fucking crazy.
It's really weird. And my sister was born on a leap year. So she actually was born 14 days after February 28th.
I'm like so confused. That's really crazy, Zach.
No, it's really weird. And my mom did such a good job for like a while giving us separate birthdays, but she like just couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I remember one year, my sister's birthday was in the morning and it was a teddy bear picnic. And all of my sister's friends came over with teddy bears. My mom like had like snacks and everything, and then they all left, and then all of my friends came over and we had like a clown magician at my it's just like, how did my mom like live through that?
I would have ended it all. I would have Thomas Jane'd like the entire party.
That's like, what I mean, like I don't understand how my mom, and then I actually think that was the final straw. I think going forward she was like,
she's like, no more teddy bear picnics.
You're sharing, and we had two cakes, two everything, and it was like,
I'm planning Rex's party, which is like this upcoming weekend. And it's just like the baseline for any kid's party. Like you can't spend the cheapest thing you can do. It's still going to be like around $500 if you have like all the kids, yeah. Right? Like that's like baseline.
That's baseline.
So like your mom was doing so much.
My mom, like, I don't even know how. I mean, I remember my grandmother being there, like trying to help. It was just like,
wow.
My poor mom. And then going forward, it was just one cake that said happy birthday, Zach and Liz, and like whoever. And like she was just like, we can't do that again. That was really crazy.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Give us Marcia Gay Harden, 48.
That feels better to me, but she looked younger than Tom Jane.
I agree. Lori Holden, 38.
Okay.
That's not, I feel like if I met her in real life and she was like, I'm 38, it'd be like, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That like makes sense.
Andre Brower was 45.
We do have to address this. We don't know why we keep picking his movies.
We're like not doing it on purpose.
I've seen this movie literally 20 times, completely forgot that was him in it. Didn't
you know
register.
That I have, I log every movie I watch in Letterboxd every time I watch it. And now, and like they keep track of your statistics throughout the year. And Andre Brower is like my top two viewed.
No, we're like on a bender.
It's like crazy. They're like Andre Brower, like whoever's like running his estate is like, what's going on over there?
Or like, sorry, we just like love you guys so much.
It's like crazy. And then Toby Jones is 41. So he's younger than your husband in this movie.
The original Capote.
Oh my God.
Right? Was he the...
No.
Oh, but it was Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
It was, yeah, like very different. Mm-hmm. I watched that movie recently thinking that I was going to get like a New York City glamour fest.
And you got like a Kansas cornfield fest.
It was like a fucking true crime Law and Order episode. It was like so fucking stupid.
I've been like really obsessed with watching Case Files on Netflix. Like I just watch murder documentaries during the day now. So
I love when you find something on Netflix that's like good.
It's such a treat.
It's and then you watch 70 episodes of one thing and then you're like done. That's how we got into Intervention.
It's true. I wish I could go back to that time. It was so right for us. But I can't go back.
Sometimes when I think of that moment in our lives, I'm like, when we were just playing Royal Match and watching Intervention, like,
oh my God, no, what was going on?
I don't know, Sloan. Like, that was such a, it was during the summer.
What was happening? That's like all we did.
I'm not kidding you. I spent hours every day watching Intervention and playing Royal Match.
No, Zach, I'm on like level like 4,000 something. Like, it's absurd.
I just started kind of playing again recently.
Me too.
That's so weird.
I like kind of do it like I'm like I can quit anytime. Like I pick me it up too. Like, I'm like, but I'm like I don't need to play like that much.
I'm like I'm just playing socially, you guys. It's like not that big of a deal.
I only play when I drink, which is every day.
All right.
So good.
We kick off this movie in a really twisted way. It's a man painting steampunk coded artwork.
Yeah,
it's like it's like a time traveling detective with a rose next to it.
It's Clint Eastwood. He's painting like classic movie posters. He has the Thing poster in the background.
Oh, and I noticed that
when he came on screen. Paul was watching this with me, and I said, "Wow, I would really like that job." And Paul said, "What, painting Clint Eastwood pictures?"
It was really weird. Yeah. Like I was like, "This artwork is so weird."
It was like, so he's like a movie poster artist, which like makes no sense in context of him becoming like the hero of this film. Like it's not like a heroic job. So sort of weird vibes. Paul was just like, well, a natural leader will always be a natural leader and come forward. So I guess that was sort of the vibe. But I was like, I think they should have given him like in Poseidon. The jobs made sense for like what was going well. Okay, cruise ship grifter didn't make sense as a hero role, but
like firefighter,
yeah, fire captain made sense.
Like map builder,
yes. This was nothing. Like alien expert.
It was just like painter, like art. It was like artist. Freelance painter,
freelance New England painter man. Okay.
I had a hard time figuring out where they were because they kept saying Manhattan and then Portland and then there were mountains. And I was like, what the fuck? That is the most inaccurate depiction of Maine I have. Like that. Yeah. I mean, there are lakes and stuff, but like those mountains were like tropical, like volcanic mountains that they were showing us.
Yeah. If you're watching something Stephen King, just know it's taking place in like the Northeast. That's all you need to know.
I didn't know that this was Stephen King. It gives that energy like immensely, but I didn't realize.
Yeah.
This movie starts off with like a big storm. And my first thought was like, I hope that we just have like a million thunderstorms this summer.
Oh my God, me too. When the movie started, I said to Paul, I was like, God, I really just like want to be in a big storm. I love them so much.
I love a big storm. I do too. I love it so. I love an impending storm.
This would be a dream come true for me. Let me just say that right now. I would love this to happen.
Here's why I wouldn't. Here, me too. But like, here's why I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I really despise people that I don't like.
Oh yeah, being trapped with them.
If I don't like someone, like I like really don't like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being trapped in a building with those people would really upset me. Like
most of them were pretty cool and chill though. Like we got some really good characters.
Yeah.
And a couple of like weirdos, but like on the whole, like
it like, was no pretty... one fuckable except for like the military guys.
I mean, I guess Thomas Jane and like the main girl were like fuckable to each other.
There were like, yeah, you're right. You know what? It probably was like an average ratio. Like if you were actually in this scenario, because like the girl that worked there was like hot.
Yeah, she was beautiful. Whenever I get on a plane, I always look around because I'm going to end up in some sort of like lost situation. I'm like, who am I fucking? Who am I killing? Like I always kind of like take the beat of like who's on the plane with me. And just kind of see.
Yeah, you need a crush. You need an airport crush.
I need an airport crush. And I need to just sort of like, just know my bearings and be okay with like, if we end up in hell or heaven with this group, like who am I hanging with?
Yeah.
I just got to know.
So after the storm, they go outside to assess the damage. And I have never in a movie seen the such horrible dialogue between husband and wife.
That was the beginning of this movie is like all kinds of wrong. The tone is so wrong. It's weird.
It's like a really weird tone. Like,
no one would talk like that.
The way that they're, I wish that I had like wrote something like, down that they were saying, but it was really bad.
The kid comes up to them and he's like, holy crap, you gotta see this. And then he runs away and Thomas Jane is like the dark emperor has spoken. And then the wife goes, how do you two always find a way to make me laugh?
No, like that was, was really dark. And then that, like their boathouse, let me tell you something that needed to be repaired. How dare you say that that's the neighbor's fault?
No,
that
boathouse
shattered into a trillion pieces with like a normal tree.
No, that was 100% not Andre's fault.
That boathouse was failing inspection years ago.
It was hanging on by a thread. It definitely could not withstand the mist rolling in. That's for damn sure. So are they saying, like, we find out later in the movie that, like, the government has opened up a portal. If the government opens up a portal in our world, will there just be, like, a super bad storm the night before? Is that what happens?
I don't think the storm was related to it. I think the reason for the storm in this movie or book or whatever was to... Like, the whole point of him going back to the house and seeing his wife, like, nested up in that, in the web, was that he was like, I was supposed to fix that window. Mm. Like, the mist got in the house.
Okay.
I don't think the storm had anything to do with it.
I couldn't really understand, like, the mist not seeping into the store. If it would seep in other places. Like, why? Like, the store had broken windows. Mm. I mean... We've all been to, like, a grocery store. Those doors are not, like, some kind of sealed...
leaves blow in. Like
birds or in Home Depot. Yeah, like, come on.
Always.
It's real. So there is a couple of... I mean, listen, I know it's an alien movie, so we can't, like, nitpick those details. But anyway, then we meet Andre Brower, our boy crush. And Thomas Jane's like, you owe me some money, Papa.
He's like, I don't want to, like, rush this along, but, like... Maybe we could just exchange. Like, if someone came over to me the day after a debilitating storm where, like, the entire community's power grid was out.
Yeah.
My car was completely destroyed. And they were like, hey, my handmade boathouse was ruined by one of your trees. Like, I was just, like, wondering if I could have your number or something. Like, I would be like, get the fuck out.
I'd be like, do you see my car? It's no longer cherry. Have you ever said that? Thomas Jane calls his car Cherry. I've never said the word cherry to describe something.
No. Thomas
Jane, in the beginning of this movie, it was like he didn't know any of his lines and they were like holding them off to the side of the camera.
They were yelling them at him off the camera.
They were like Tom.
It was like crazy.
Called a boathouse because he was like the boat.
The rest of the movie seemed like normally written, like,
yeah, not totally,
like not like award winning, but like it just seemed like normally written. The beginning of this movie was like so crazy written. It was like
it made me uncomfortable.
They had to begin the movie, and then they were like, "We've got to go back, you guys."
They did. It's like they filmed all of the action stuff, and they were like, "Wait, we didn't show how this like happened. We can't just start in the grocery store." And then they were like, "Well, the writer's gone, but we've got like an intern and
his son's here.
Mac, he's
turning 16 next week. I feel like he could be fine.
We could probably get this going." And they just like wrote like 4 pages of dialogue, and it was some of the worst to start a movie like that.
Weird.
It was bad. It was really bad. But then it gets really good.
Then they leave, like, he and Andre Brower and, like, the little boy, they're on their way to the grocery store. They need supplies to fix stuff and all this junk. And they see, like, the military driving the opposite way, which is, like, such a trope. It's, like...
I love that trope.
I literally wrote, this is, like, one of the best, like, most subtle tropes. Like,
best trope.
Because everyone, like, when you see that, you don't want to overreact. But it's also, like, to see the military in, like, a non-military... coded place.
Zach, I was driving really to soccer scary. The other day, and I always forget that we have like a bunch of bases here in Georgia. And as I'm driving past the train tracks to my son's soccer practice, when I tell you for miles and miles, it was just car after train car after train car carrying military vehicles, like military vehicles with like turrets in the back. Like it was the craziest, like,
did you use that
Rex
moment?
Was like, let me go out there. And I was like, no, I get it. But I was just like,
did you pull over and like say, stay here, baby?
I did. And then everybody like was honking. Like,
yeah.
I was like, it's misty. There's something in the mist.
I love that line so much.
So good.
So then they get to the grocery store. It's like the same thing. Like I live in a town where like nobody moved. Like a lot of people don't move out of here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that everybody knows each other, but there is an energy like where like it's you feel comfortable pretending like you know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like familiar where they're walking in and they're like, oh, power out. Power is out.
How, like, hey, you can talk to people.
Your mom make it through this?
Yeah. You don't know the mom's dead. Name.
Yeah, and it's just, like, crazy. It's weird. And he's like, hey, babysit for me on Thursday, even though we're going through a debilitating situation in our neighborhood.
Even though we're going through a mist?
She's like, I'll be there. And then, like, a fire truck goes by, and, like, with a siren on.
Yeah.
And the entire grocery store. I mean, I also live in a quite a metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. If a siren goes by, nobody looks up.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think it's a good note.
The whole store froze in this movie. I mean, like,
I think, like, fear. I think that they already felt really unsettled. Like, the sense of tension and, like, something weird is happening was, like, very potent. So I think when they heard that, they were, like, it just freaked them out.
Literally, like, a siren goes by and the kid goes, is mom dead?
I mean,
like,
yeah, she is.
Is mom dead? He's like, I think we might need to get you, like, into therapy. Like, imagine, like, every time a kid heard a siren, they're like, are my parents dead?
Whenever I see a fire truck, like, in my neighborhood, I'm always like, something happened at my house. And it's, like, not even near my house.
No, sometimes if I see a fire truck going towards my house and I'm not there, I'm like, I wonder if that's going towards my house.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is the moment. This is when I got to run through the police tape shrieking.
And then I wrote, I love an atmosphere. Like, I love an atmosphere. You know that. Like, I know you do, too. It's just, like, I love that, like, tense, scary, eerie vibe. I love it so much.
That was so beautiful, that vibe in that grocery store.
I love it so much. And then as I wrote that, I wrote, oh, my God, the siren. Because then we get, like, a tornado siren, like a storm siren. I love that.
There is nothing
worse. Yeah, like, we've talked about this before, where, like, when you start to hear a siren,
it's just really the worst.
It's real. But the feeling that you get in your stomach is the same feeling that you get like when you're excited.
It is like you're about to go on like down the roller coaster.
Yes, that's exactly it. You're it's like, whoa,
your nipples yeah. like just perk up and you're like, yeah. Okay, here we go. You could never have known it was like,
I just got it now.
Oh, my nipples are rock hard.
No, like it's so crazy how like. Tingly. I get so excited for like little storm energy, like little emergency storm energy.
It is the best.
I got that all during COVID. Like if I like thought about it for a minute, if I like got up and like longingly looked out my window during COVID lockdown, I would get like that little nausea butterfly feeling.
Well, it was so exciting because like you literally didn't know if like the whole entire world was going to end. It was so exciting.
I keep seeing things where it was like
petered out
4 years ago today.
Ugh.
It became a pandemic and I'm like, can we go back? Like, I mean,
take me back.
I was really scared for a little while, but now thinking back on it, then someone like quote tweeted it and said, I don't miss a terrifying pandemic, but I do miss being able to like understand vibe. What life is supposed to be about. Like,
yeah,
I remember looking out my window in my kitchen, like every day being like, that flower's blooming. Like, it's like yeah. every other year, it's like you just notice it being brown or then it's just bloomed.
Yeah.
And that 3 months, I was like watching things bloom. And I was like, this is like literally what life is about.
It's so, it really put things into such focus. I will give you a tip if you want to feel a little bit of that way again, because as we know, spring is around the corner and I just re-downloaded my Merlin Bird ID app. So when I was walking Elmer this morning, no, just hear me out. When I was walking Elmer this morning, I usually like listen to a podcast or I'll call somebody. Like, I'm not aware of my surroundings, but today I turned on the Bird app, which you can like put on the sound and it will record all the birds around you and tell you what bird it is. And when I did that, I also was like just so keenly tuned into like all the sounds in my neighborhood, which I like just never really hear. It's just white noise. And I couldn't believe how many different like sounds there were. It was crazy. It's like, I don't hear them.
I know. I need to, like, I just really love, and it reminds me, I'm sorry, guys, I'm like going way off track, but like it's like poetry from like the 19th century, like that like beautiful feminine poetry and like novel writing. It's like, that's what they had nothing else to do. They just like sat in fields and like watched little flowers bloom and like little birds chirp, and like that's where true beauty and art comes from.
The Industrial Revolution ruined every fucking thing. The Industrial Revolution hadn't happened, we wouldn't have been able to open portals to other dimensions. I'm just saying, like, we've just gone so far from God's light. To quote Sister Carmen,
I just hope that before it's too late, like, none of us have to work anymore. I would really like, maybe socialism or communism, like, is what I want.
Yeah, because then we would, like, put our hours in at the communism factory, and then we could at least, like, come home and be with our family and enjoy flowers. Like, my poor husband's been working, like, nonstop. He works weekends now. Like, it's crazy. And I'm just like, this is not life. Like, you can't do this. But he doesn't have a choice. It's like, this is really fucking sad and fucked up.
Well, he has a choice. You would just have to move.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's a good point.
That's doing it to him, actually.
You know what? You're absolutely right. It is me. Maybe I should be like, do you want to, like, tone down our lifestyle so you don't have to work 7 days a week?
I think that he would like to do that, but he knows that you have no concept of time and money. So, like,
that's true. It's a really good point.
Okay. It wouldn't matter. Like, I'm sure, like, I mean, I think you guys would be really happy living in, like, a three bedroom, like, colonial. I just think that you would then be like, let's knock this house down and rebuild a mansion.
I would. A McMansion.
And he'd be like, well, the whole point.
I'd be like, you better go back to work.
Okay. Anyway, so then the sirens kick in. It's so fun. And then a woman, like, I forget her name. I don't even know if we know it, but she's from The Walking Dead. And she starts to freak out about her children being at home. There's a point of confusion here with me, and I need you to explain it. She says that she's like, I left them home. I was only going to be a minute. And she's only 8 years old, and she forgets to watch her younger sibling. But is the 8-year-old the younger sibling, or is the 8-year-old at home with the younger sibling?
The 8-year-old is at home with what I assume to be a 5 or 4-year-old, which is bananas. But then we saw her at
the end, and that girl was not 8. She was like 16.
Was she? I didn't notice the kid. I just noticed the mom.
The kids with her were like not 8.
Okay, I need to rewatch that, because that is a very important.
So that's what thing. I was. In my mind, I'm like, well, you actually deserve to die because you left an 8-year-old at home with a younger child.
What did you think was going to happen?
A power outage storm, like,
bring your kids with you.
You have to just bring them with you and go get, like.
So it doesn't make any sense.
So crazy to me. I was like, that writing is not normal. For needing to get home to be with her kids.
Paul was like, I would be doing the same thing. I would run out of the store as well. And Paul was like,
yeah,
why? But like, you're safe here. I'm like, my kids, I have to go to my children.
If Paul was with Rex, would you be like, the best thing to do is for all of us to stay safe?
If Paul was home with Rex?
Yeah.
Yeah. If, as long as Rex was with one of us, I would stay where I was.
Oh, yeah. I was having a hard time like thinking about what I would do, because I do have a penis. So like, I would be like, it's just fog. I'm going to go home.
No, of course, in the beginning. Of course.
If people were like, if the fog rolled in, I'd be like, although they never really had a moment of like the fog rolling in and nothing happening.
Before the fog rolled in.
Yeah, like before the fog rolled in, he is screaming there's something in the mist.
That was the best. So the siren's going off, and then all of a sudden this guy runs up to the store, like, with some blood on his face.
Yeah.
And he starts screaming, there's something in the mist. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And I felt, by the way, the little boy actor in this movie was so good because, like, He was too good. Again, this was too good because I was getting really upset with this little boy. I was like, and whenever a little boy in a film goes, like, I want mommy, I get, like, I just absolutely break.
Thomas Jane, like, the thing is, like, I say this constantly, like, I don't have children. I have children that I'm very close with, but they're not my children, and I still wouldn't have left them for one second. Like,
no fucking chance.
It's, like, so strange to me. Like, I would be, like, somebody, even if I was, like, the tall, muscular, leading man type, mm-hmm. I would be, like, someone else has to take charge because, like, I'm not getting off the floor with this kid. Like,
Thomas Jane was like, listen, I just took my shirt off. We can all see I'm the hottest guy here. I have the most muscles, and I'm the best painter. But I'm not going to that pharmacy filled with spiders.
Bristly chest hair.
No, Zach. Thomas Jane will, I wrote this down. I was like, in every movie, he will find a way to take his shirt off. It has nothing to do with the plot, but he's going to find a way to be like, guys, I work out. I don't work out like The Rock, but I'm in the gym.
When he took his shirt off and then I remembered how old he was, our age, I was like, that's not me. That's...
When I see a middle-aged man with pecs and chest hair...
Are you calling a 38-year-old man middle-aged? I just threw up.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
No, that's actually not middle age. When I see a young stud in his late 30s.
A teenage 38-year-old.
When I see a man in his early late 30s with rippling chest hair and like that very like defined shoulders from like doing so many like rowing exercises and push-ups, I'm just like daddy. And then I know I'm not a lesbian. But then when
weird, as two queer questioning, non-practicing humans, don't you think it's so funny when like you watch, it's like we do this. This is like our livelihood. Like we do this because of this reason, but we watch movies and we're like, oh no, we're gay.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch another movie and be like, I guess not though.
Yeah. It's back and forth.
And we did this with the Mummy. The reason we did the Mummy is because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to kiss Rachel, but I want to, like, have sex with Benny.
Is Benny the...
I'm talking about the Mummy.
I was like, I don't...
You're like, who's Rachel? Who's Benny?
So this movie did have some hotties. It was just, like, weird.
It was
weird energy.
It's definitely not, like, a sexual movie at any point, which I appreciate. There's no romance.
I totally
appreciate no love.
I love that there was no romance other than like the military boy.
I forgot about that.
But that was like young love. That was like, we're going to die, baby. Like, we might as well eat each other out.
And she did, in fact, die. She did, in fact, die.
So it's funny because Marcia Gay, before she becomes a cult leader, Marcia Gay Harden is arguing with the redneck and she's like, you live this life of sin and stuff. And I'm like, if they just waited 10 years, they would have been on the same side.
Honestly, they really would have been.
Like those rednecks and those church ladies, they're both voting for Trump. So
100%.
If they just waited.
I will say the scariest aspect of this film was Marcia Gay Harden, like way scarier than the aliens, which obviously the group agreed with. Like they were like, we gotta get out of here.
We've gotta get see, like that's a really big that's a really good point to focus on because that is aliens will kill you because they instinctually have to.
Yeah. They're hungry for human blood. This something they've never tasted.
This woman would have killed you because you had sex when you were like 21 with a stranger. Like
it's so scary to be that devout. Like that I love when the biker guy was like, I believe in God too. I just don't think he's as angry as you do.
He's a bloodthirsty whatever.
Yeah. I was like, that's a good line.
My favorite parts of this movie were when someone like hurt her. So like every time it was like,
he keeps helping her with canned food.
The woman, Bunny McDougal, hummed a can of vegetables at her. And what's her name? Lori Holden slapped her across the face. And then, like, Toby Jones was like, I'm just going to fucking shoot her.
Twice.
When he shot her, I was like, I wish that I could have done that.
I would have shot this girl so quickly. I would have been like, we're not doing this. I'm not being trapped here with Cuckoo Woman.
The second that the weird thing is like, and I think that this is a natural response, when she started to like lead the group against the young military guy, I was like, I would have like literally just like beaten her with a frying pan. But they show like everyone like standing there not doing anything. But I actually think that's what would have happened. Like,
yeah,
I think because I feel like our instincts are so fucked at this point in society that we're like, she's not actually going to, like, do anything, so I don't need to, like, be reactive.
The writing is really good in the scene where the, like, heroes are in the back room and they're talking about how dangerous the religious aspect is, like, about to become. And they're like, when society breaks down, like, anybody will be, like, clinging on to a shred of hope.
Yeah, dumb people.
Dumb people. Whatever shred of hope they can cling to, they will, and they'll do whatever this person says that's offering them some kind of solution, even if it's just pray. I mean, I can see how that is. You're like, when I was watching this movie last night, I was very high. I was like, does religion make sense? Like, I started to question it.
Probably did when they first started it.
It's just like, this is not right.
Actually, no, that's not true, because they slaughtered all those Jews.
Yeah.
Wasn't when it first started. I don't know.
I just don't think it's a good vibe. I don't think there's like someone in the sky that is like telling you what to do or like watching.
I think at its core, when they talk about like being kind to people and like helping others in need, like that's fine.
But that's the opiate of the masses, because the really powerful people that win and get all the money and all the shit, they don't have those sorts of morals and ethics. This is why I always say morals and ethics are made up. Those are the opiate of the masses, because if you're kind and you're nice and you follow the rules, you're never going to reach the level of success of like a Trump or a Bezos or any of those people, because they don't give a shit about being kind. They don't give a shit about morality. Mm-mm. They do whatever is best for them in that moment. And that's...
Amen.
That's how you live your life. That's how I live my life.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
So, all right.
So religion is bad any way you look at it. Because if you're trying to just be good of like Sky Daddy, like be good if you want to be good. But if you don't want to be good, then just be unapologetically bad.
Yeah, I don't think.
That's it.
As I've learned from TikTok, which I hope is banned today. Mm-hmm. We all end up in the same place anyway, which is a soul waiting room party scene.
Is it?
That's what they say. They said that 70,000 people were questioned that had near-death experiences. They all went to some sort of like party energy in the sky where your soul meets up there and you choose a different life.
I think that's so much fun. I can't wait to do that.
I like really hope that that is the case. They say you wake up and this whole life just feels like a dream.
That's so crazy.
So like, you're like, wow, that was like a weird dream, but it's like fine. You're not sad. You don't miss anybody. Cause like you feel like it was a dream. So you're like, that wasn't real.
Okay. That sounds really good.
So then we see an octopusy. So they go into the back because Thomas Jane sees the door, like the
door is bowing. It's six feet in, it's pulsing. Yeah. And Tom Jane is just standing there. Now, Zach, I don't know about you, but if I see a pulsating door, I'm headed the other direction.
I wouldn't have gone back there alone in the first place.
I wouldn't have waited there to be like, I wonder what this could be. Is it a bunch of candy? Is it going to be like, what is
the Easter Bunny?
What does he think is going to be behind that pulsating door with the horrible noise? Something fun? Something good? Well,
he runs out of there after bumping his head 78 times, and he then brings everyone back there because he's like, did you guys hear that? And they all go back there, and
they're like, hear what?
He's like, something is out there. And like the one of the rednecks is like, okay, you're wrong. I'm going to open this door.
He's like, please don't do that.
He's like, no, I'm telling you, like, don't, because like something is out there. And he's like, I'm going to open it anyway, just because. He opens the door and obviously like a big spiky octopus alien tentacle comes in.
Classic.
Starts murdering like a young boy who no one remembers anyway.
Yeah,
That part where they're like, I forget his name in the movie. Do you remember?
No.
And they're like, so-and-so died. And the two people who like manage the store look at each other and they're like, who is that?
They're like, is that like weird lanky stock
Norm
boy?
It's Norm. They're like, Norm's dead. And then like the manager of the grocery store looks at another like clerk and he's like, Norm. Who's Norm?
They're like,
when didn't he start?
I don't know a Norm. I don't really think he like worked here legally.
He like loved wearing the vest.
Oh my god, the outfits were so good at that like super safe there's mart.
right over there, there's a guy with a disability, and he stands at the corner and directs traffic every single day for hours, and he is not employed by the city.
Is he doing a good job directing traffic?
He stands across from a school, and he basically just waits all day long, even when school's not in session or it is in session. He just waits in case someone has to cross the street.
And that's a scary NPC.
And he like waves them over, and then like my sister used to be like a social worker type of person, and she like knows. I mean, she like had interacted with him at some point, and
I don't really like when people just take on community jobs that don't need to be filled.
I don't like the concept of other
people just living.
In my town, we have an indefinite gridlock situation because
the bridge.
Our corrupt governor, like multiple corrupt governors, have just like let a bridge, the only bridge that we use to get across the bay, like has just like failed, and now everywhere you go in my town is just gridlocked traffic. So he actually like, we actually do need him now.
But you need him in a different capacity.
Yeah, we're like, could you actually start working on the bridge? Because it's
we're gonna kind of taking a toll and some here. Concrete, and yeah. We need you to get to work.
We really need you to get to work. So I will say, like, in the guy's defense, so what happens is, like, the store clerk dies. Thomas Jane is like, this is your fault. You killed that boy.
Yeah.
You opened the door. And the guy starts gaslighting Thomas Jane. And he's like, well, you didn't tell me that it was like a murderous giant octopus alien. Like, you didn't tell me that. So
he like, and Tom Jane was like, he comes out and he's like, I saw a tentacle. And everyone starts laughing.
No, this is before that though.
Is it? I thought he comes out and says like there's a tentacle and everybody's laughing and then
no, that's back. Well,
is that after?
Yeah, because he only takes the he only chops the tentacle off while it's ripping the kid out. So
You're right.
So the guy, like the redneck guy, is like, well, you didn't tell me what was out there, so that's why I opened the door. Like, you didn't tell me that we were gonna be murdered.
Yeah.
And honestly, in his defense,
it's not wrong.
You're not going to, like, not open a door because you're like, there could be murderous aliens out there.
So when Paul is like, why are they all... When Thomas Jane is now like, there's a tentacle monster outside and everybody's like laughing it off.
That was
like,
so weird.
Well, Paul was like, why are they laughing it off? And I'm like, because you would never in a million years be like, yeah, it's alien tentacle monsters. Like, that wouldn't occur to you. Like, that would be so unbelievable.
But he literally walks back there and he walks out to like three people and he's like, something horrible just happened. Someone's dead in the bed. Like, someone just died. Come with me.
That's not like a good joke.
He's like, I'm going to show you this like thing that I chopped off. Like, it's back there. And they just like won't go back there. They just like start laughing at him. He's had like a half a beer and they're like, okay, you're drunk.
The psychology of this, though, is like your brain is going into like protective mode. So it's like not going to allow you to be like, yeah, this thing that is impossible is now a possibility, because your brain does not want to handle that.
I'm so like, I literally would have been like, show me. I'd have been like, oh my God, are you serious? Show me.
I at like Ripley's Believe It or Not, when you see like the little like fake like mermaid in a jar, I'm like, that's a real mermaid in a jar.
No, 100%.
That's definitely a mermaid. That's definitely every not a monkey in a tail.
I watch, I'm like, this is real, you guys. This is not.
This is real life. This is real life. But like, I think your brain would just go into such a like protection mode that you'd be like, that's not real. Like, come on. That's why people keep going out into the mist, because they're like, there's no fucking monsters. Even Zach, I think if I saw, I asked Paul this. I was like, how soon after seeing the monster would you then become just like comfortable with the concept of the monsters being there?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that if I had just seen that huge thing, mm-hmm. I would be like, I can sneak by. Like, I can get away.
The mega beast at the end?
The mega beast? Yeah. Or even like there was one.
It was like an AT-AT. Like, what was that?
Yeah, like there was a smaller mega beast too.
I mean, the tiny little fly, and I was like, things were...
Those things would keep me inside the rest of my life.
I would be like, that's actually enough for me, because like that's freaking me out big time bad. I'd be more scared of that than the mega beast as well. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. It's like if I saw the big monsters, I'd be like, I feel like I could sneak by them. Like, they're not going to really notice me. But to see those, even like the flying like pterodactyl things, mm-hmm. I feel like I could like maybe run. I don't know. At least you can fight a large creature.
Yeah, I feel like, I think we've talked about this during one of our Jurassic Park episodes, which we don't know if we've done or not, but the little dinosaurs that are like teeny tiny, like a few inches tall, those would scarier. Freak me out more. Yeah, those are scarier than like a T-Rex, because it's like
100%
kind of like hide. I'm so much tinier. I can hide from a T-Rex. Like,
yeah.
Those tiny ones, it's like they're at my ankles. Like, they're biting my ankles.
If those like scorpion flies that are like the size of like a baby were flying around, I would never leave my home.
I would be so fucking mad. Those were so disgusting and scary. And how did they not sting more people? They only stung that one girl. Like, come on. We're stinging more people than that. There's no chance.
I would imagine.
How did the store not catch on fire? Like, there was a lot of questions here.
There were a lot of questions. I did, like, one of my, I just wrote, not Marcia Gay talking shit with God.
Oh my God.
When she's in the bathroom and she's like, okay, like, and then like, she's a slut. He's like an asshole. Like, it was just like so funny. Good.
She's so funny in this movie. Like, her character is so one note, and I really, truly love the note. It's just like
if I wanted a friend, I would just like squat and take a shit.
That's one of the best lines in cinema. If I need a friend like you, I'll squat down and take a shit and I'll shit one out.
Why isn't that played at the Oscars?
Like, I don't know. Like, what a line. I'm definitely putting that at the end of this episode, because like, it's so good.
And then like Andre Brower's character, like after everyone's like, no, you guys, we did just see the tentacle. Like, he's right. And like, he did die. Andre Brower's like, you're lying.
He's like, okay. I'm
sure it's like, no, you there. Just like, why? Like, but why are you being so annoying?
I think, Zach, like, I would go into the back room and look at the tentacle monster and be like, that's fake. Like, you faked that. Like, I don't know if my brain would be like, okay, that's really happening. Like, I don't know if I would think it was all real. I know that sounds like really stupid, but
I think like you and I do have like really good instincts though, and I think that you wouldn't like necessarily believe it, but your body would be telling you like not to go in, like something's happening.
I would listen to my gut for sure, but yeah. I think my brain would be like, wait, what? Like, my brain wouldn't be able to process it.
No, yeah, I totally believe that. So
like, when I find out there's a new animal on Earth, I'm always like, how did we not know about this before? Well, Zach, you don't have a child, because if you did, you would know about more new animals like almost every day. They've just discovered a new mini chameleon. I mean, I learn about animals twice a week. I'm like, wow, we got a new monkey. That's crazy. What if we got a whole new monkey?
I think this world is just like too big. Like, there's no way we know what's going on in this world.
And it should stay that way. No more knowledge.
I would be eating nonstop in this scenario.
No one's eating in the store. Well, I guess they make wings at one point.
I would be like, where the fuck are the gummies? Like, where are the jelly beans? Where are the gummy bears?
Same,
where
doc.
are the Takis?
Like, I would literally just be like hiding in that little like storage closet room with Takis and some like Mountain Dew and
Diet
some salami,
Cokes, like,
Diet Coke. I'd be slicing up lemons. I would be making margaritas. Like, I would just be having Doritos, having, oh my God,
nonstop.
Ruffles with like French onion dip from Lay's. I would be like, you guys, like,
you just gave
chilling.
Me goosebumps saying Ruffles with onion dip. Oh,
so you and Nizak in the back, just like Diet Coke, Ruffles, dip. Like, that's what
you know.
We're
the
doing.
Thing with you and me, too, is like, we would know that this would end soon. Like, you and yeah. I would be like, you guys are being so fucking stupid. Just sit down.
I believe this was an allegory for being gay because I think it's about like it gets better and you're wow. facing all of this like horrible, horrible stuff. But if you just like wait, like the light will shine again. That's what I think.
Wow.
It's
about. Is this about your YouTube video about it gets better from 2006?
I think so. I really, that's like, I don't know if this is like an allegory for that or if this was like the like predicted COVID, like just stay inside. Like it'll go away.
Well, not the mom, not Thomas Jane's wife.
Why did, okay, can you explain to me why Thomas Jane's wife ran out to the down tree to die?
She didn't. Are you confused?
I'm very confused.
Well, I don't know where, so the down tree was in the backyard.
But then he says, like, she's, like, something about his grandfather's tree.
He said, I was supposed to fix that window.
Oh, okay. I thought, it looked to me like she was, like, at the front door of her house.
She was at the front door, but, like, I think they dragged her out there. Yeah, like, I think that they just brought her body out there.
I don't understand how, like, she died. But like the mom that left the store in the beginning lived, like just go into your basement and
so
hide.
This is what I'm like thinking. It's like they're just animals at the end of the day. So like uh-huh. you could like if they were like lions and tigers, there's a chance that like you could get home.
I mean, you would have to like be heavily armed, but like yeah.
But
like,
you wouldn't really necessarily have to be. Like, I think like if they just weren't hungry, if you were quiet, if...
These people did almost everything wrong, from shining the lights to honking horns to screaming, like, just quiet, stay small.
That's what was so crazy about them. Like, the second they exited that grocery store, like, they were screaming.
Just like, be quiet. Sneak around.
That's what I, like, don't... It's like someone yelled they're attracted to the light and then that idiot was just running around turning every light on.
That person that just like runs and turns on every single light while the animals are like getting into or the aliens are getting into the store. I was getting so mad at that guy. I was like, stop turning on the floodlights. What are you doing?
If this movie were made like in the 90s, I would have been obsessed with this movie.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm obsessed with this movie, but like
it is like a really good movie.
I love the concept of like the bugs being attracted to the light and then like the bigger creatures coming to eat the bugs. Like, I love yeah. that little note.
Me
in
too.
The movie. I think that's like really cute and clever.
It's I mean I think it's like a very well thought out premise,
but like, is the point of this movie that like, because we can assume that everybody that was following Marcia Gay Harden's like biblical nonsense lived, so is this about like you should be religious?
That's a good point.
I don't know like what the point, like what it was trying to say at the end of the day, because like Thomas Jane lost everything because he was trying to be the hero. So are they saying, like, be docile, listen to the word of God, and stay put? Like, what is the message?
Wow.
I think this might have been, like, a Christian film, like, to convert people.
Well, you're right.
I know. It's like, the message is, like, Sister Carmody was right. Like, she was like, we're going to stay here. We're going to offer a couple of offerings and then like this is going to be over. And she was in fact right. And they killed her.
I mean, here's the thing, like, I would also want to just sit there. Like, I would be like, I'm also just going to sit in this grocery store until something happens. Like,
I mean, like, I'm not going to the Christian side and I'm not going to the hero side. Like, I'm on aisle six. If, like, there's an emergency, like, I'm just going to sit here with Zach and, like, we're going to just, like, play Uno. Like,
I think that, like, I do think that, like, if it became, like, you're either going outside or you're Christian, you and I would be, like, Our Father who art in heaven.
Oh, I would have, like, been, I would have been like Miss Pious over there. I would have been praying and been like pretending to read a Bible. Like, no, I would have Us Weekly like in the Bible. I'd be like, my God, Zach, look, who wore it best?
No, but that's the thing. Like, I would be like, no, like Jesus is coming. You guys,
I'd be like, oh my God, you guys, Jesus is so real. Song.
I'd be like, you guys, I just took a nap and like Jesus said, we should just like chill for a second. And like,
honestly, I think I would have done the same thing. Maybe instead of like trying to like lay low, I would have been like, oh my God, you guys, I had a vision and Sister Carmody is right. Like, we just need to like stay chill, but like, we don't have to sacrifice kids. Like, we literally just need to like sit here.
We could like stigmata ourselves.
Oh, with ketchup. To like
make them believe us. Yeah.
Yeah. We would be in the back, like trying to figure out like how to like,
Doing bits.
I'd be like with like the alien, like the dead alien cards. Be like, Zach, take us now. Do a silly one. doing like selfies. I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if Snapchat filters work on like these aliens, giving them like googly eyes.
We would be giving them like the puppy mouth and like.
Oh my God, we would have so much fun.
No, like our TikToks would be like so fun.
We would have the greatest TikToks if we got stuck in that grocery store. We'd be like, and not slowly, Sister Carmody.
It was like. Sona's like, I wish we were in this together.
It would have been really fun. I think we would have had a really good time because we would have just lived. We would not have been this stupid.
And I wouldn't have pill overdosed either. Like,
the people that killed themselves, it's like, take a fucking minute.
You're going to die. So here's the thing, like,
wait longer to die.
You're either going to live or die anyway.
Yeah.
So just like, wait. If I saw like an alien about to come at me, then I would shoot myself.
100% agreed. Fully agree. But like in the car, when they run out of gas at the end,
just sit there.
Sit there until something is like really about to happen. That's why I thought it was like it gets better.
It is weird that like he just was like, okay, nothing's happening. I might as well kill everyone in this car.
Literally, you guys, like the big behemoth alien was over them, but like just like steps, like nothing happened. There were there was literally zero threat. And Thomas Jane's like, I guess I should kill everybody. Like, it made no sense. Like, just wait in the car until like something is gonna happen. Whether you are about to starve, like, that's your last resort.
Literally, like, you wait until, like, there are aliens attacking your car, and then you're like, okay, now I'm going to kill these people just to save them from the pain.
That's the answer. Because if this guy had been like, you know what, why don't we give it until nightfall and see how bad this gets, they would have been rescued 10 seconds later. Like, it's less than 10 seconds.
This really is, like, the worst ending of... It's like...
Thomas Jane... It's really, really shown us that a movie poster painter should not be in charge of a survival mission.
Something, it's like, something actually funny, like, there's this line where, so they go to a, before all of this ends, like, they go to a pharmacy to get.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about the pharmacy. There's a guy that was lit on fire, you guys, like, so big time.
And right, because when the bugs came in, like, they just started lighting shit on fire.
Again, not the plan. Not a good plan.
Not a great idea, because they fly around and just, like, light shit on fire. So
I don't know how the whole store didn't go up in flames.
Didn't go up. So then they go, and it's, like, horrible. They see, like, baby, like, alien spiders coming out of, like, bodies. It's, like, acid web.
Not good.
And they get back, and the next, and, like, hours later, one of the guys has now joined the religious cult.
Mm-hmm.
And another person says he hasn't been the same since the pharmacy. And it's like, yeah.
20 minutes ago.
Like, it's like, okay, yeah, because he, like, saw alien spiders, like, coming out of a human body
and like out of someone's spinal cord,
an acid web murdering someone. Like,
yeah, he saw the pharmacist dangling from a cobwebs, alien cobwebs,
and he's like, I don't know, like, what happened to him, but, like, he just, like, hasn't been the same, like, since the pharmacy.
I would have been like, you guys, like, the vibes in the pharmacy were, like, not it. Like, it was, like,
the vibes over at the pharmacy, like, were so crazy, you guys. They left the doors open.
You guys, the pharmacy was, like, not the vibe right now. But I do also not understand why the old woman tagged along to the pharmacy. Like, I'm not trying to have an old woman come with me on, like, a rescue.
It's because she knew where everything was. She, like, she was the map. She was, like...
She was the little map quest lady.
Bunny
She's
McDougal
like, the Sylvadine is in the freezer.
I wonder if she worked at the pharmacy.
She was a teacher.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, like, I don't know if you know, like, about, like, wound care. I don't think you can put Sylvadine on, like, someone's, like, fourth degree
entire burns. Body.
When the guy was, like, he's like, shoot me. And Paul was like, I would like not want them to shoot me. I'm like, Paul, think about how much it hurts when you burn like the tip of your finger. Now imagine your entire
body. Your whole body is tingling. Like, if you burn, if your finger touches the stove by accident, you are tingling all over your body.
Paige and I knew a woman who had a bit of a heroin problem. She is since better. But one night she was... I think she's trying to like deep fry something, some French fries maybe. And she plunged her entire hand into the fry oil. The pictures of her hand are something I will never, like, I'll never be able to eat like chicken skin ever again. Pork rinds ever again. Cause that's what it looked like. Imagine like blowing up a latex glove, then covering that in pork rinds. Cause that's what her hand looked like.
It was a deep fried human arm.
I wanted to. She deep fried her fucking hand. Her whole, like, not a finger, Zach. Her whole hand.
No, but why?
She was on heroin, and I don't know what she was thinking. She just plunged her hand into fry oil.
Is her hand normal now?
Her hand is, like, discolored now, but as normal as a hand could be after plunging it into fry oil.
One Easter morning, my mom spilled a pan of bacon grease on her arm.
Is she okay?
She had what looked like a jellyfish, like a huge jellyfish.
Yeah, my mom did that recently too.
And my
like
mom
prosciutto.
My mom just bandaged it up, and we went to Easter. Like it was like
that's. Remember, my mom just did this on Christmas, and yes, she right. showed me after, and it literally looked like. Pieces of prosciutto on her arm, and I was like,
moms are like that like generation of moms, like she literally just tended to it, bandaged it up, and we went to like our family Easter event, like
and your mom's just in like searing pain,
like excruciating. She honestly though, my mom has always been a beacon of pain pills, like in our home, like
yeah,
anytime something happened to us as a kid, my mom would just hand us a horse pill and be like, just take this.
Rex is like very scared I'm gonna poison him or something, because whenever I hand him a pill, he's like, is this safe for kids? I'm like, what the fuck? Yes.
I remember one time I was like sick and my mom gave me something and I slept for like so long and I woke up and my mom was like, I think I might have given you too much of that. And I was like,
can I have some more?
I, as someone who like really is not like I've never really like done drugs or drank, but like I love a good pill.
That's concerning.
I do. I just like love a good pill. When I can get my hands on some good meds, I'm really excited about it.
I'm lucky that I have a absolute intolerance to codeine, and it makes me very violently ill, because otherwise I would for sure be on it. I'd be on intervention.
Vicodin and Percocet make me really like hurl. Like,
I can't take any of that stuff.
No, me. I can't take that stuff.
After my C-section, I took Tylenol 800. Like, that's it.
Yeah. I can't take actual pain, like narcotics. Like, I can't.
I'd love to get like, a fentanyl patch on stuff. Me to see what it's all about. But I know I, if like, that love, happens, I'd be too into it.
You know, I love a muscle relaxer. I love some codeine. I love
a little muscle relaxer action.
I've got some in my cupboard.
Can I have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we kind of like talked about all of the stuff. I mean, do you need to talk about?
I got all my notes out.
Okay, cool. Let me see if I have any more notes. We also have some user questions. Oh, there's what the one line that really made me laugh was when Thomas Jane is like trying to like tell the people what to do. And the guy that ends up like converting to Christianity is like, I know you think you're a big shot artist. And it was just like, what? It was like, why are you, what?
That was very like Dorinda Bethany energy in the Mexico trip when she's like, skinny girl.
It was like you're a cook, not a chef.
Oh, it really was.
Okay, here, let me pull up these noties. Okay. Silly Frisson said that they would love for us to talk about Thomas Jane's choice to never wear shoes, which I then looked up online, and the rumors are true. He will walk a red carpet without shoes. Is he a barefoot man?
I didn't know this about him.
Uh-huh.
Until I saw that you posted it.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Okay. Allison Buell wants you to know, tell Zach female circumcision is usually removal of the clitoris and or labia, not just the hood. And then she also wrote, listening to an old episode where he discusses clits, LOL.
I have no, as you all know, we have no recollection. What I must have asked, like, what happens during a female circumcision?
Oh my God, that is so funny. Okay, Sarah Bellum said, this film pissed me off so hard, I threw the newly purchased DVD into the trash, 0 stars. Sarah, I understand, but give it another chance. I don't know how to say this, but WLLMCHS says the TV show that aired on Spike was completely unhinged. I just saw that there was like a mini series of The Mist, and I kind of want to get my peepers on it now.
When I IMDb searched it and it was like, which one are you talking about? I was like, whoa, what?
There were like 4 options, and I was like, yeah. I don't know, like, whatever. Oh my God, Ashton with an E is like a girl after my own heart, because I almost wrote in the caption for when I was asking for pictures, like, do we think Thomas Jane is hanging hog? And she said, do you think he actually has a big dick like in HBO's Hung? This guy has major big dick energy.
He has big dick energy, but I'm going to say.
So you think it's small?
Well, I don't know if it's small, but don't you think that if he were in a show called Hung and he actually was hung, that he would have shown his dick?
Interesting.
Like, they clearly couldn't show his dick because he wasn't actually hung.
Interesting.
Because then it just would have, like, in the show, he's supposed to have, like, this massive dong.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, we can Google dick pics.
Average king.
Mailer Damon Targaryen says, but what about the TV version starring Morgan Spector? Did not realize the Miss TV series stars. Well, maybe we'll give it a shot. I'm still on the fence as to whether I'm still a Morgan's girl or not. And I want to be, and I want to get back into...
You guys, if you haven't listened to our Patreon episode of Liar Liar... You might be like a little in the dark about Sloan and I being a little put off. And, you know, I feel bad not talking about this because a lot of you have been DMing us about like where our love for Daddy Russell has gone. And
as and we you know, tell you, it's behind a paywall.
It's behind a paywall. There is an episode on our Patreon. It's the Liar Liar episode. And we do explain what happened to us, mm-hmm. what he did to us. We still want to see him naked and touch him.
Yeah. And also just like for $5, it's not that we don't want to tell you guys, but like for $5,
it's a little dark. Yeah.
It's dark and we can't say it in public. That's why we've put it behind a paywall. And for $5, you could like unlock it, cancel your subscription. And there's also like literally like 200 episodes on our Patreon. So if you are like bored and want more, I think you can like unlock it with that. Most people on here said the book ending was much better. The movie is crushing. All that survival for nothing. Lizzie Nguyen says, I still think about that ending at least once a week. Horrific. Liz Lindsay says the ending of this movie broke me. Amy Lawson says the movie ending destroys me more than any other movie.
Can you be honest with me about something?
Yeah.
I do understand the love of a child and for a child, mm-hmm. not in the eyes of a parent, but mm-hmm. I do understand what the crushing devastation would be like mildly. Mm-hmm. If you escaped this nightmare mm-hmm. and your whole family was dead, mm-hmm. it's just you. Is that a little bit of a consolation?
I would give myself about a week to see how I felt.
Even out.
Yeah, I would be like, because I feel like...
What I'm trying to say is I'm not taking away, if this were real life, I'm not saying that, you shouldn't be sad. Obviously, you're going to be, devastated and, mourn the life you used to have.
Yeah.
But if the whole world has changed, your entire family and friends are dead, what is there to miss? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, but I think you're coming from it as a single man and you're not part of a family that you've made. Your life would... I just don't know what kind of life you could have. That would never, none of this would ever leave your mind. You could never have a normal day again. So right. I don't know how you could just keep going.
Could just be I guess I'm just going to go be a slut somewhere.
I mean, I just think every day I would be I shot my child in the head. I shot that hot blonde lady in the face.
And here's the thing.
I killed an old woman.
You honestly, you might have been saved moments later. But to be honest with you, what kind of a life were you going to live after this? Your child's mother died.
I mean, if it's you and your kid, you're going to continue to survive.
But for what? So what I mean is would that kid have had a good life without knowing that his mother was brutally murdered? And then
so you're saying
and you're living your house is gone.
You would mercy kill that child.
Well, I'm just saying don't you think that after that, you're okay, my child would have lived a horrible life after this.
I mean, I guess I know what you're saying in a way. I think you'd have to. The thing is, if the monsters continued, I think it would be good that he killed his kid, because that's no way to live. But the fact that the mist just dissipated and it was going to eventually go back to normal, life would be normal.
Life again. Hasn't even gone back to normal since we all had to stay inside for 3 months.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not going to go back to normal after Could you imagine what an election year would be like after aliens invaded?
Oh my God.
This is what I'm saying.
Think about our military budget.
No, what I mean is your life as we know it after this is not going to be good.
That's true. That's a good point. But we don't know if the mist happened just in this isolated area
town,
or if it was
you think they're going to lie about the rest of the country is not going to hear about this.
I don't know. And there could be a cover up. That could be the miss part too. I'd like to.
They're like, okay, everybody, we're just putting you into this, into this conference room for a second, into this gymnasium.
And then Will Smith shows up.
We're just going to count you guys to make sure you're okay.
We're going to make sure everybody's good. And then we're going to release some
then
pellets.
The doors locked. Yeah.
We're going to release a gas that's going to make you really sleepy and you're never going to wake up
again.
You're
going to be fine.
You guys, this is honestly, it's going to be fine.
It's normal protocol for second dimension.
They would, for 1,000%, if this happened in real life, they would completely nuke that town. It would be over.
That it was Russia.
They would be like, oh my God, China. Oh my God, you guys are
not China nuking Maine.
Oh my God. China just nuke the Eastern Seaboard. That's so random. That's probably what's going to happen. And we're going to be doing TikTok dances about it. Wearing pins at the Oscars.
I think we're safe. I don't think that it could reach us. I think that's why they have to do it from the West.
Morgan Spector wearing a ceasefire pin and then just going to fancy Oscar parties, and then his next slide is something about Gaza. I'm just
he posts
I'm very...
So, he posts so many pictures of himself. It is...
That's giving me the ick.
Eye-opening. It is...
I don't think that's a good energy, you guys.
It's like, if you look at his stories, it is nothing but pictures of himself.
Like, if I was his wife, I'd be like, Morgan, you like have to quit. Like, you have to stop. Like, even his wife's captions are like, I know you're probably sick of this. And like, I get that they have to like tag their stylist and like do all that stuff. And like, I feel like his wife is really good about
being like... He shares every picture of himself.
I know. Guys, it just does have a little bit of a dark, just for a, but I also am like, okay, benefit of the doubt, like he's a man in his 40s who's like now getting some like fame, like that he's been trying to achieve for a long time.
No, you don't have to like defend it. Like, I get it. And like, when the Gilded Age starts, I'm just going to be back to our normal regular self. But like,
yeah,
we've been hurt, you guys.
I'm gonna throw on the Mist series, and I'm gonna see what I see. I'm gonna see how I feel. I'm gonna tag him, and I'm gonna see if he responds. Then he'll be in my good graces again, because as of right now. Mm-mm. Also, I have some other Patreon tea to spill, but we'll do that on a later date.
During our Swept Away episode.
I can't wait to do that, you guys. Okay.
Okay.
Well, where can they find us?
You can find us at www.mummydearestpodcast.com. You can find us at Mummy Dearest Podcast on Instagram. And you can find me at Zach Mellon on Instagram. Sloan, where can they find you?
They can find me at I Am Sloan Steele and at Oh My Erotica. And that's pretty much it.
Goodbye. Bye. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest Podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
Something in the middle!